everybody. Welcome to Steelers Live. Happy early St. Patrick's Day.
Nice hat.
Thank you. I'm Mitzi Matthews, joined by Bob Labriola. We're celebrating the holidays just a little early.
I was going to say, what are we celebrating today? I can't quite figure it out.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Yes.
Just a little bit of green.
You're so nuanced sometimes.
You know. But some great merchandise at the Steelers Pro Shop, shop.steelers.com. Labs and I are both sporting some of it. So.
Matthew's under that hat. You can see his feet.
That is not from the Pro Shop, but cheers. All right, a little bit of free agency news to get to on today's show. We'll start by the signing of wide receiver Justin Hunter, somebody who visited the Steelers labs on Monday. He came to terms with the team yesterday.
Yeah, Justin Hunter and the Steelers have come to an agreement on a one-year contract. And, you know, I'm not trying to throw cold water on this, but this is one of those for depth kind of signings. It's not one of those marquee additions to the team. You know, Justin Hunter in 2013, when he came out for the NFL draft, in some pre-draft publications, he was ranked the number one wide receiver prospect. Some of the other guys in that class, DeAndre Hopkins, Tavon Austin, Keenan Allen, Marcus Wheaton, Kobe Hamilton. But Justin Hunter will be with the Steelers if he makes the team. And let me just emphasize that. Justin Hunter is going to have to come to Latrobe and make the team. If he does, the Steelers will be his fourth team since he came into the league in the 2013 NFL draft. But what he is, you can see how tall he is there. He has size, he has good speed, and I think when you look at Justin Hunter and how he might fit in, kind of call him insurance in terms of what might happen with Martavis Bryant and Sammy Coates. So, you know, the Steelers, when you look at the core of wide receivers that the Steelers trotted out at Gillette Stadium for the AFC Championship game, I think that everyone would agree that after Antonio Brown, that group was somewhat lacking, and the Steelers are trying to fortify that a little bit. They're going to take a little flyer here on Justin Hunter. As I said, he's a big guy. He's fast. The book on him is similar to what it was on both Martavis Bryant and Sammy Coates. Big, fast, somewhat inconsistent hands. So, again, the Steelers and Justin Hunter, one-year deal. Come to Latrobe. Let's see what he got. Now, on the plus side for Justin Hunter, when he lines up in a Steelers uniform for OTAs or training camp or whenever the first time he is on the field with Ben Roethlisberger, Ben will be the best quarterback he has ever played with at the NFL, and it's not by a small margin either. So we'll just have to see how it works out.
All right, let's take a look at the rest of the Steelers free agency. We'll start with some of the players like Lawrence Timmons who have departed from the Steelers that were initially on that list deciding where they were going to go. As we've said for the past few weeks, free agency, free for the player, free for the team. We saw that happen with these three guys right here. Lawrence Timmons, of course, went to the Dolphins on a two-year deal. Jarvis Jones signed a one-year deal with the Cardinals. And Marcus Wheaton made a splash early in free agency going to the Bears.
Yeah, the Lawrence Timmons situation, you know, the Steelers, I think, their viewpoint with him was to let him test free agency and then see where they stood. You know, the Dolphins signed Lawrence Timmons to a two-year contract, $12 million. 11 of that $12 million is guaranteed. And, you know, what has kind of happened in terms of Lawrence Timmons over the past couple of years, you know, there was a time when Lawrence Timmons was a dynamic pass coverage inside linebacker. As his career went on and he got older, you know, Lawrence Timmons played a lot of games, a lot of snaps, and therefore he took a lot of hits. You know, his abilities in coverage kind of declined. And towards the end of the 2016 season, Lawrence Timmons was, you know, I don't know if it's fair to call him a liability in coverage, but he was certainly someone that opponents would try and target or, you know, isolate in some matchups that they thought that they could exploit. So, you know, Lawrence Timmons, again, the first round draft pick of the Mike Tomlin era, played a lot of games here, helped this team win a lot of games. But, you know, when you were looking at him as a guy in his 30s, entering his 30s with a lot of snaps on his body, you know, he wasn't the kind of guy that the Steelers thought would command or was worthy of commanding the kind of money that the Miami Dolphins offered him. And so Lawrence Timmons returns to his home state to play for the Miami Dolphins, and it's a pretty good deal. Good for him.
In terms of Jarvis Jones, Labs, even back when we were doing our Steelers by position series, you said you felt like a fresh start would be good for Jarvis heading to Arizona. That would indeed be the case.
Yeah, Jarvis Jones, like Justin Hunter, was part of that 2013 NFL draft. And, you know, Jarvis, for whatever reason, he never really became the kind of player that the Steelers thought he could be, the kind of player that the Steelers needed him to become. You know, looking back on it, hindsight is always 20/20. I think that a couple of things that conspired against Jarvis Jones were his speed. You know, I remember him running a 4.9 at his pro day at Georgia, and you know, Kevin Colbert talking about Jarvis Jones after the Steelers picked him in the first round. You know, this is a guy who led the NCAA in sacks in back-to-back seasons as a player in the SEC, which is the best conference in college football. And the Steelers drafted him to rush the passer. Now, what hurt him in the NFL in trying to do that was his speed. You could see it, his lack of speed show up on tape occasionally. And then Jarvis, if you remember, he had that wrist injury early in his career, and there's some belief that that prevented him from developing the strength or increasing the strength that could have maybe compensated for his lack of speed in terms of his ability to get to the quarterback. So in the end analysis, Jarvis Jones probably wasn't fast enough, and he was never able to get stronger. And so you ended up with the kind of player that he turned out to be, which was, you know, okay, but not a dynamic pass rusher. And the Steelers need pass rushing production from that right outside linebacker spot. And so I just thought that it made a lot of sense for Jarvis Jones to seek a fresh start elsewhere. He will get it out in the desert with Bruce Arians, who seems to kind of be a landing spot for a lot of players.
Pittsburgh West, as they call it sometimes.
Pittsburgh West, yes, for a lot of players and some coaches who leave here.
All right, let's take a look at who the Steelers have resigned throughout free agency. Labs, I know how much you get a little fired up when people say the Steelers haven't done anything in free agency, but when you look at this list, Antonio Brown not on it. He counts, though, signing him to a long-term deal, and, of course, the franchise tag being placed on Le'Veon Bell. So, again, the Steelers' philosophy, taking care of their own.
Right, and good point by you pointing out that Antonio Brown is not on this list. However, that is a significant offseason move by this team. You know, the Steelers have, over the past couple of years, they kept telling Antonio Brown, wait your turn. When it comes to your turn, we will do right by you. And I think that they did. They got him signed before the scouting combine, before free agency started. And they made him the highest paid receiver in the NFL, which I think, you know, who knows how long that distinction is going to last, you know, the way contracts and stuff in this league go. But Antonio Brown recognized players and coaches alike as the hardest worker on the team, really has made himself into a dynamic NFL player, and the Steelers lived up to their part of the bargain by making him a priority when his turn came, and they did a fair deal with him, I think, by making him among the highest paid receivers in the NFL. So I think that qualifies as a significant offseason move by the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell, I don't know how much more has to be said about him. Also a dynamic player at his position. James Harrison, 39 years old when next season starts. However, he is the best, I don't know, he or Bud Dupree, the best outside pass rushers this team has, and this team is in need of more outside pass rushers. Also on that list, Landry Jones, a player that a lot of Steelers Nation loves to hate. However, securing Landry Jones as Ben Roethlisberger's backup, you also have Zach Mettenberger at quarterback. So I really think that this relieves any need for the Steelers to look to add a quarterback in this draft. They could concentrate with their eight draft picks on continuing to bolster this defense, which, you know, I think it needs. Also on there, always under the radar, but to me a significant piece of any NFL team is a reliable, dependable long snapper. Greg Warren gives the Steelers that. Again, you never hear his name, and I don't know that there's a compliment for a long snapper that's greater than that when no one talks about you, because if no one's talking about you,
you're doing your job.
Yes.
There you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Up next, we'll tell you some important dates to put on your calendar.